Higher Works by Gregory Norman Bossert. Narrated by Sunila Nankani.
Dyer and the Wayward, slapping maps. Camden Lock Market, Friday morning. Dyer shifts against the wall. The bricks are rough and still night cool in the shade of the bridge, and her jacket is thin across the shoulders, lining long gone, and the leather worn smooth by years of brick, stone, iron, concrete, carbon, and breaks down the approaching couple without quite making eye contact. The Wayward has got an eye out for cops or worse, blathering in his terrible Bert the Chimney Sweep cod cockney, sounds stoned, but his brain is just like that. Ghosts, you know. The nano. Sometimes it don't break down. It digs in. Makes a nest in the parietal lobe. Parietal, Dyer says. The couple are a matched Saxon blonde. Expensive haircuts, and the girl's wearing Haviland jean splice chestnut wedges with live shoots trained around her calves. Cost $1,000 easy. Not cops. Not dressed that way. More likely the sort that think that drop parties damage property values, that nano should be reserved for medical and military purposes, that refugees belong safely sorted with their own kind in the camps in Dover. The sort to take a map now and call the cops later. But he has an active tat peeking out of the edge of his sleeve, and she's got corneal implants. So Dyer risks it. Opt in, she says quietly, and sees the guy's teeth flash. The girl taps the guy's thigh with one hand and reaches out with the other. Dyer slips a map from her jacket pocket, hits the girl's hand. More a handshake than a slap, oh so proper British, and meets the girl's gaze. Pixels swirl in her eyes, and recognition. Higher Works, the girl mouths, and swats the guy's leg again as they ramble on out into the sunlight by the canal. Dyer blinks her own corneas full black. Fame is a fickle food, she thinks, and all the more so for users running illegal nano drop parties. Men eat of it and die, she says to the crows along the canal bank. Whoa, the Wayward says. Eat what now? Might be time to grow her hair out, or to go back to wearing masks at the drops. But that never really works. The fans are too persistent, bless their stuttering, overstimmed hearts, and photos get out on the drop forums. Sick minds of Higher Works unmasked at last. D. Dyer. The Wayward. Shimago. Users or homegrown? DJ Mrs. John D. and Nano Goddess Higher Dyer spotted digging through the bins at Res Cycle. We got photos. A scanner in the works. London's opt-in choreomania culture networks nanotechnology to bend brains. That last in the damn Guardian with a damn gallery of drone footage. Might be time to move on, was the truth of it. Amsterdam again, or Helsinki. Anywhere the refugee policies are less tattered and the fear flows a little less deep. Leave London to groups with less to lose. As if summoned by that thought, Cal flits in under the bridge, gossip queen of the refugee scene, latest conquest in tow. All right, Dee? All right, Way? Doing the do tonight, yeah? New show, new rocket? You guys know Lily? Slap me a pair? All in one breath, without pause for answers. All right, Cal, Dyer says, slips her a couple of maps. Cal passes one to her companion, a willow-wisp creature in frills and lace with improbable anime eyes that make Dyer think of zygomatic surgery and tabloid tales of accidental ejection. Lily spins the map in twig fingers, details on one side and actual map on the other, tests the stickum that holds the fold closed with a glittered slice of fingernail. Cal pinches the map closed. "No, babe, don't open it. The pick inside is the neural cue. Triggers the nano. Gotta wait for the party tonight, yeah? I'll just hold it for you till then. These guys gonna shake your tuchus, and Dyer here, what she do gonna shake your brain?" Lily's eyes get perilously wider. Dyer squinches her own to narrow slits in sympathy. Cal leans in to kiss the air over Dyer's cheek, drops the accent to say, "Hear about the two users pulled from the river last night? Crap beat out of them? That fascist turd Evans saying, send them back to the States, conscious or not. Watch yourself today. Anti-migrant rally in Parliament Square. Lot of noobs in town. Big group got through the tunnel last night. Streets frigging twitchy, girl. Like everyone's dusted, seeing things. People where they shouldn't be. Speaking of, some Betty in a god-awful yellow hoodie been staring at you up by the benches." Then louder. "Cannot wait for the drop tonight. Whole bloody town needs some higher works." She exits left, Lily trailing behind to look back at Dyer, eyes bleached to porcelain in the sudden sun. Dyer rubs her scalp, checks the benches with a sideways glance, catches a yellow-hooded head just turning away. A gaggle of girls in shiny, machine-worn leatherette stumble into the shade, all trying to read off the same phone. Too young, Dyer thinks, and too loud. She riffles the edges of the maps in her pocket. She's handed out a few dozen this morning. It'd be nice to get through the whole stack this morning, while folks still had time to plan their night. "No network nodes, no data stream, but the nano wants to connect. It needs the connection, how it's designed," the wayward is saying. "So it starts connecting with anything, with all the Wi-Fi and broadband feeds and, dig this, with other ghost nano in other people's brains. Not like a drop party. There's no beats, no video, no higher works to ride the flow. Keep everyone in sync, yeah? Just a jumble of flashbacks, visions, voices, thoughts, and then you drift, untethered like, you know? Crowd surfing. You go all scattered." "Doesn't work that way, Way," Dyer snaps. Edgy because of Cal's news. Edgy because it's a topic she doesn't want to touch in public. Edgy because she doesn't like to lie. "Nano can't do anything without neural cues and network nodes. And anyway, your body breaks it down in a couple hours. Ghost Nano. It's an urban legend. Suburban legend. Mallrat stuff." She looks toward the girls in their glittery off-the-shelf counterculture. Behind them, by the bank of the canal, is a woman in Dyer's own black leather skin hair like a thunderhead. Bruised eyes, just shadows in a sharp, fragile face. And Dyer's breath stops. If it's not lust, Dyer left that behind with the rest in the dry husk of California. It's something just as potent. No yellow hoodie, though, which means someone else is watching her. The one thing Dyer didn't leave in the States was the thing she fled. The fear. Don't just run from, Dyer thinks. Run to. She raises an eyebrow at the mystery woman, remembers that her eyes are full black, and leaves them that way. If a little anger creeps in between her brows, the corners of her mouth, well, that's just the flip side of the fear. The woman lifts her chin just a fraction, nothing fragile in that motion, and Dyer feels a sudden dizzy doubling, like she's been drawn out in overlapping circles, that drop party buzz of anticipation, of connection. The wayward says, "Leave it, mate. She ain't interested." In it? Dyer turns, ready to give way a shut up already roll of her eyes, finds a face in the way. Heavy jowled and swirled blue with faux prison tats. The guy blinks, does a cartoon double take. "Bugger me. Thought you was a bloke," he says. "Nope and nope," Dyer says. "Works for me," says the blue tat's companion, baring her luminescent teeth at Dyer over his shoulder. "She ain't interested, whichever way you're rigged," Way says. "Are you, Dyer?" Dyer gives him the shut up already look now, but it's too late. "Dyer, your hire works." The teeth gasp, even her tongue glows white, and Blue Tats gets a look that says maybe he can overlook Dyer's not being a bloke after all. "Opt in tonight," Dyer says, and slaps a pair of maps into the hand that snakes around Blue Tat's waist, looking left to avoid eye contact, to find the woman by the canal. Nowhere she could have gone in that brief moment, but she's not there. Deleted, swiped away, and in her place are three men in bespoke suits, hands in pocket and practiced leers on their faces. Dyer's first thought is immigration, but they've got Union Jack pins on their lapels. Junior partners out of the city, most likely, looking to score points with management by pasting a couple of users to a pulp. She reaches back to tap the wayward, feels his dreads shift against her shoulder as he nods. "Two more, on the side of the bridge," he says quietly. Dyer shuts her eyes, inhales slowly. Blue Tat's breath is stale beer and bad curry for breakfast, but he's over 6 feet of solid meat, and his glow star companion is razor sharp and twitchy with stims, and they are both as London as the king's own cobblers. Dyer tucks her arm around them both. Desperate measures for Dyer, touching, but she's thinking about bodies bleeding into the Thames. Says, "Buy us a pint then?" 2042-05-18 T 10:22:00 plus 1 hour plus 51.541327 minus 0.145319. Contact. Target, unconfirmed. Leanna Vance. Priority AA. APH 2035.Z980023. Scan summary. Face match, 47%, SIG deltas. Hair color, NA, shaved. Eye color, NA, corneal implants. Gesture score, 62%, SIG deltas. Weight, minus 12 kilos. Height, plus 9 centimeters. Possible tib fem bone extension. Note, ID scores low confidence due to contact distance and crowd cover. See attached images. Attachment. Personal message. "Crazy flight. Edge of space, yo. Jet lagged out of my gourd. Day started weird. Some guy comes up to me at the airport. Hey, Jocelyn. Kisses me straight on the mouth. I'm like, I do not know you, so F off. Feel whacked like I'm coming down with something, seeing ghosts out of the corner of my eye. Gotta be a lot of ghosts here, yeah? Place even smells old. No fiberboard, no burning tires, no pepper spray. took 4 hours to get through customs. No one got the effing memo about the new IP treaty. Guess the Brits are keeping it secret, cause everyone hates the States here. As if we can't hate each other just fine on our own, thanks. Some guy on the street called me a user, like he can see tracks through my hoodie. Turns out to mean U.S. economic refugee. I'm like, screw you. But I guess I fit the description if I wasn't here on your dime and your visa. Might all pay off, though, cause that tip seems legit. Just been here 12 hours, and I've already got a possible hit on Vance herself. Got a few photos, but I couldn't get close, and these contact cams you gave me are crap. Your fancy scan app says around 50% match. She's had serious body work, and she's got this cray-cray-looking surfer dude watching her back, and she's edgy as hell, so don't start spending the money yet. Oh, wait, I have. I don't score that bounty. I am so, so very doomed. Kisses, Joe. Attachment. Images. 7. Click to view. Dyer and Mrs. John D. Brooding Nano. Camden Catacombs. Friday, noon. Mrs. John D., you said no self-respecting Londoner would be caught dead in Camden in the daylight, Dyer says. She's sitting on the microassembler in an attempt to block the bright, busy control panel from view. Mrs. John D. tugs a blue floral frock on over her head, sets her glasses on her nose, peers over them at the folks staggered about the catacomb chamber. Dyer, love. None of these people are self-respecting. She sheds a heavy studded cuff, the last of her work uniform, and tows the box of leather, chrome, and vinyl under the workbench. As the only legal Brit in hire works, she picks up spending money selling LPs to tourists who can't play them. The money's okay, and the contacts in the community of artists and musicians working the markets are better. The required punk attire, the hoary old 80s, Mrs. John D. calls it, and heavy on the whore, is more suited to Dyer's taste, but Dyer's forged ID codes aren't up to the scrutiny required by the Economic Refugee Act. And you said the catacombs are off limits due to the danger of flooding from the canal. A positive death trap. Mrs. John D. agrees, which is why you had to pick 3 locks when we first moved in. No one dares come down here. Paint-tagged kids chase each other with rattling spray cans. Students ring their teacher under the dim hanging bulbs, dutifully examining the rails set into the brick floor where the horse carts once rolled. A family dozes on a blanket, surrounded by the remains of a picnic. And what looks for all the world like a tour group in bright Brazilian colors mills about under the vaulted galleries, kept away from the equipment by some hastily stacked boxes and Dyer's glare. Mrs. John D. points at the massive slab of brick and ironwork that supports the far side of the underground warehouse. Look, that wall was blank when we got here. That's a sick canvas. Would have been tagged top to bottom had this place been open. They'd moved in 3 weeks ago, and the wall is already covered, a collage of overlapped graffiti, bills pasted up and torn down again, what looks like bird crap, even though they're underground, a hanging pair of seriously soiled trousers that none of the group dared get near enough to take down. A little girl with perfect doll hair and knockoff Dayglow Doc Martens is staring up at the wall. Dyer and Dee watch as she leans forward and carefully sticks her gum in one of the few remaining spots of bare brick. Dyer sighs and shifts to cover a neon green pop-up on the panel. Should have had my hips widened when I had my legs done, she says. Mrs. John D. scrubs her mohawk into its natural teal tangle, pulls her tablet out of her bag. Bollocks. Your hips are the 8th architectural wonder. They just need some company. Budge up, love. She pulls herself up onto the microassembler next to Dyer, peeks under her arm at the control panel. What are we hatching? She asks. Sound system. All for you, Dyer says. Bud interface. Cochlear induction. Everything except the auditory cortex stuff. I ran that in with the visual batch. Mrs. John D. does a little shimmy on the microassembler hatch. Breed, my lovelies. Breed, she says. And adds, as the little Dayglow girl copies her move across the Wilby dance floor. We're going to jail, aren't we? No, you're going to jail, Dyer says. If the police decide we're causing enough of a nuisance, they'll haul you up for some Section 63 nonsense. Repetitive beats. Repetitive beats, my bucephalous bouncing bum, Mrs. John D. says with another shimmy. Did you even listen to the track I... The wayward, shimago, me. We'll be put in the Dover Center to be beaten down for a year, deported back to the U.S., and then things will really get bad. Worse if the U.K. rejoins the IP treaty zone. Sorry, love. Shouldn't laugh, I know. But really, what else can we do? She waves at the crowd. The students have filed out into the tunnels, and the Brazilians have expanded like vapor to fill the available space. Move on, Dyer says. Mrs. John D. frowns, prods her tablet with a tattered teal fingernail. I'm not at all sure I like the idea of running, just because the bloody fascists have voted themselves in and our own dear fans are all too, fanatic. It's not running, Dyer says. She gestures at the billowing Brazilians. It's just the flow. There's a tide in the affairs of blah, blah. You're a DJ, D. You know about the flow. In the gaps between the Brazilians, she sees the shine of black leather under thunderhead hair, glittering coal smoke eyes. Flashback to this morning's vision. The impossibly disappearing woman. Dyer's chest thrums. She slips off the microassembler. Be right back. If the panel beeps 3 times, hit the green button. Oh, okay. Oh dear, Mrs. John D. says behind her. Dyer follows the leather gleam across the dance floor, loses it in the gloom and bustle, reaches that graffitied far wall. No one is there. Nothing like that fragile face, not in the crowd or under the vaults on either side. Like this morning at the canal, she's dissolved away.
She show me the spot for my gum,
the doll girl says in a stage whisper, blue eyes serious under straight-cut bangs. Then she laughs and swirls back into the crowd. Well, what were you expecting on a day turned weird and wired? Dyer thinks.
What else? Dyer asks the wall.
The wall responds with a flicker, a scrap of smart paper smeared under sellotape and glitching all along the torn edge. Dyer tugs it from the brick, squints at the scrolling text. It's some sort of government document, a snarl of nested digital sigs and certs, and then the title. Provisional Agreement on the Renormalization of Intellectual Property Rights between the United States of America and the United Kingdom of Great. Dyer tries to scroll up, searching for a date, but the paper glitches, resyncs on a list captioned Patents of Special Concern,
And there at the top is a process for the mutual self-repair of nanomechanisms by Leanna Vance. And then it's her eyes glitching, flashes of memory and time to her pounding heart of those last worst days in the U.S., a sudden sinking nausea, a tinnitus squeal. The squeal stops, starts again, and Dyer realizes it's not in her head. It's coming from across the room. She pushes back through the Brazilians to find Mrs. John D., all five ferocious feet of her, restacking the box barricade around their workspace, pausing after every box to glare down the vaults. Dyer sweeps up a box, lifts it over Mrs. John D.'s head to the top of the stack. What happened? Some bloody bint knocks the boxes over. Oh, excuse me, she says. And when I get up to sort it out, she nips in to play with your panel there, face first and wide-eyed. Contact cams, Dyer says, nausea returning. That's a bit of none of your business, I said, and she doesn't even blink. You deaf? I ask, and give her a nudge in the kidneys, in case she really was. Mrs. John D. demonstrates with a vicious jab of her elbow. Dyer steps back out of range. So, since her hearing is apparently bollocksed, I figured I'd give it a tune-up. She patted her tablet. I was just setting up audio network tests. I figured if she was rigged for cams, she'd have bud implants as well. I boosted the volume to 11. Ah, Dyer said. That was feedback then that I heard, from 40 feet away. Her head will be ringing for a fortnight. Ought to put a spanner in her party plans. You think she's a nano cook? If she were a fan or paparazzi, she'd have gone for our lovely visages, not the gear. She's a bizarro you from some rival drop party crew. Dyer's thinking of that fadeaway face, those eyes. She look like me? Only with hair? She waves her fingers over her head like clouds drifting. Did she, fade? Mrs. John D. shrugs. She looked like a yellow hood-up hoodie. Not so much fading as slinking away in disgrace, tail between her legs. Lovely tail, though. All's well that ends well. Mrs. John D. demonstrates with another shimmy. Dyer makes a dubious, She fishes the scrap of smart paper out of her back pocket, but it's gone completely glitched, just a scattering of pixel dust. 2042-05-18, T1209:00, plus 1 hour. Plus 51.541709, minus 0.147667. Contact. Target, unconfirmed. Leanna Vance. Priority, AA. APH2035.Z980023. Supporting evidence, IP violations, see note. Contact. Target, confirmed. Maryam Abadi. UK7D1B4GU230011. Priority, NA. Rumored associate, Leanna Vance, CF. UK resident ID confirmed via direct scan embedded tag. Note, target operating Alphet model X50EU, microassembler running unreleased OS. License module disabled. See attached images. Note, unregistered, NNDA, profiles in violation of 21 USC 2401. See attached images. Attachment, personal message. Got the bitch. Yeah, yeah, no physical ID yet, no documented distribution, but who else is gonna be running alphet.com beta code with custom modules? And the license mod is axed, so that's IP violation right there. And she's cooking delivery agents with unregistered payloads. Do me a favor and see if there's a Brit law about that, so I don't have to deal with the treaty BS again. Also, this Abadi bimbo is hacking earbud implants. Got to be a Brit law against that. See? Told you I was a good investment. Kisses. Joe. Attachment. Images. 5. Click to view. Dyer, Shimago, and Mrs. John D. Rocket in pocket. Mornington Crescent. Friday afternoon. Dyer levers the backpack over the exit turnstile at arm's length, ducks the bristling bouquet of carbon fiber antennae that spill from the top. Fragile, Shimago reminds her. So are my eyeballs, Dyer says. Shimago doesn't have to lift his pack. The turnstile only comes up to his thighs. Mrs. John D. drags her duffel thumping behind her. Why is the helium so heavy? She grumbles. Ought to just float along. Maybe if I let some out into the bag. No, Dyer and Shimago say in unison. You just want to huff it and sing in a squirrel voice, Dyer adds. And then I shall just float along, Mrs. John D. agrees happily. Anyway, that's the lightest bag, Dyer says. That's another thing, Mrs. John D. says. Why is the rocket so heavy? It's not a rocket. Yes, love. But that's what I call it, because the first one was such a lovely rockety shape. Not heavy, Shimago continues. Just big. 16 times the network bandwidth of the last one, Dyer says. Twice as many nanodispersers. And your subsonic driver, Shimago says. The entire carbon outer shell is the resonator. 120 dBA at 20 hertz. Ace, teeth shall be rattled. Mrs. John D. says, out of breath and a few steps behind. She's turning circles as she walks, duffel swinging. Wait till you see it flying, with the spotlights and the screens running, Dyer says. It's perfect. Looks just like the film. Only thing we couldn't find is a clean recording of the announcer. You'll have to record Shimago when we get back to the catacombs. Shimago booms. A new life awaits you in the off-world colonies. The chance to begin again in a golden land of opportunity and adventure. Mrs. John D. is still spinning. Dyer turns around. D., what are you? You's a freak. Fuck off home. Dyer turns back. Whoever's speaking is hidden behind Shimago's bulk. She leans left to see a dozen pimpled punklings in custom-printed carbon. Active tats, a riot of football logos and union colors. That's right. You heard him, you yank skit, one of them said to Dyer. Shimago sets a hand on the lead punkling's shoulder. Balderdash, my lad. Do I look like an economic refugee, American or otherwise? He says in his best King's English. Shimago looks like 6'4", 250 pounds of gear-pierced, LCD-tattooed, fully networked, Tongan-Californian, rugby-playing, airship-piloting, drop-partying, choreomaniac. His hyphens alone outweigh these punks, Dyer thinks and bares her teeth.
Dunno.
She fit, though, innit? One says, gaze dropping down under Dyer's.
Is it?
The lead one says, squinting. Shimago shifts his grip to the kid's head, palms it like a ball, and turns it upward.
Since you seem so full of perceptions upon our character, perhaps you would like to present them to the authorities,
Shimago says.
What? He taking you to the popo,
another explains. I'm just saying, I'd mash that, the one staring at Dyer says. Mrs. John D. comes spinning past Dyer, takes the lead punkling out at the knees with the duffel. He dangles from Shimago's hand like a doll. The other punklings step back from the swinging bag.
You want a mashing?
She asks the starer.
You cheeky little muppet. The lot of you in our ends. Up from what?
Surrey?
Think you're hard because you spent the money Mummy gave you on tats you can turn off again before you get home? She's hard.
That with a hand out toward Dyer.
She eats suburban white boys like you for breakfast.
Not hungry, Dyer says. She steps up even with Dee. The starer only comes up to her chin. She looks straight over his head at the crowd pushing past in the too bright sunlight, all willfully or carelessly oblivious. But there's a knot of anxious faces across the street that have noob user written all over them, pinned in place like the sun's a spotlight. Lucky the punklings hadn't run into them instead.
What are you doing here?
Dyer wonders under her breath. She means the users, stumbling through London on this unsettled day of days, but the punklings react with shrugs and awkward shuffles.
Dunno, one says. Heard this voice said, check those three. They's Yanks.
Shimago sets his captive punkling upright.
A case of mistaken identity, he says, easily corrected by a conversation with the police about antisocial behavior.
Shimago gives the leader a gentle push, and the kid stumbles forward, trips over Dee's duffel again, bumps shoulders with the starer. It's not entirely a bluff. Dyer and Shimago's forged IDs will hold up to a quick fingerprint or retinal scan, but they're likely to fail the sort of full biometric series that immigration runs, and it's been one of those days. A too long moment as the punkling weighs the cost of confrontation versus the loss of face. Finally, he mutters, "Freak," and shuffles down the sidewalk without looking back. His mates straggle behind him. The starer stays a beat longer, finally makes eye contact. Dyer blinks her corneas clear, looks down at him until he blushes and turns away. A new life awaits us in a golden land of opportunity and adventure, Dyer says. Shimago sighs, hefts his pack on his shoulder, heads off perpendicular to the punkling's retreat.
Mrs. John D., you are yourself from the lovely green lawns of Surrey, are you not?
He asks.
I was, she says. But Mrs. John D. is from here and now, Shimago.
The duffel nudges Dyer's leg. Mrs. John D. is walking backward, head swinging like a radar dish.
D., what the hell are you looking for?
I don't know, Mrs. John D. says. Whatever you've been looking for since this morning, which is, judging from the look on your face, a much bigger deal than some sixth-form twits are twitting.
I don't know what...
Dyer almost says. You're talking about, but that's neither fair nor true. What it is. Somebody following me. Somebody's. An IP bounty hunter. A parallel me from some other dimension. Maybe Wei is right, and it's a ghost nano.
Ghost nano is an urban legend,
Shimago says.
Dyer growls, strides 5 steps to the next road crossing, stops cold.
Mrs. John D. bumps into her from behind. Shimago stops next to Dyer. His look of gentle concern grows less gentle as he looks up from her to the street.
On the far side of the crossing are 2 uniformed officers of the UK Immigration Service, conspicuously not cops, courtesy of their berets and their semi-automatics. The 2 are staring straight at them through the stream of crossing pedestrians.
Mrs. John D. wedges herself between Dyer and Shimago.
You're not seriously waiting for the walk light, she says.
Then she follows their gaze and adds,
Oh. Oh dear. But they can't stop us unless they have cause.
Shimago says,
Crossing against the light is cause.
And not crossing is suspicious behavior, Dyer says.
As if summoned by her statement, the 2 UKIS officers step off the curb. Dyer fights the sudden urge to look over her shoulder. Looking like she's going to run could escalate a bad situation into a fatal one. And then she looks anyway, because she knows what she'll see. The fragile-faced woman from the canal, from the catacomb wall, standing in carbon-black relief against a white, sunlit storefront. Not a woman, though, is it? Not a rival nano cook. Not some patent-tracking bounty hunter in from the U.S. It's something else entirely. That outline drawn flat against the concrete, like an opening, like a door. With no conscious decision, Dyer takes Mrs. John D.'s hand, tugs her toward the figure, even though it's already fading to a shimmering afterimage.
There's a real door there, though, behind the figure's promise, and Dyer grabs the handle, looks back to see if Shimago is following.
The impossible shape is now standing in the crossing, still no more than a silhouette, the gleam of leather below and eyes above. And as the UKIS officers step up behind her, the bright sudden slash of a smile. And as she smiles, there's a pop, pop, pop from overhead, loud enough to sting. Smoke and a shower of glittering fragments. A beat of silence, then the crowd in the street rears up, screaming, and crashes down together like a wave. Another round of pops. Still on her feet, Dyer can see that it's the street surveillance drones blowing out, one by one. But for the folks on the ground, it's cause for more panic. The UKIS officers struggle to keep their footing as they track Dyer through the scrum. One fails and takes the other down with him. The impossible woman's hair fades with the smoke. The gleam of her smile fragments like the falling debris. Mrs. John D. tugs Dyer's hand.
She and Shimago are already through the door.
The shop is a maze of booths, one of the miniature markets that has spilled out from the fount of crass that is Camden.
Dyer, Dee, and Shimago take turns leading each other,
their packs bumping past jackets, studded belts, badge-bedecked bags, and the butt end of the 20th century spelled out in T-shirts. A rear door leads to an alley that dead-ends in a covered court, another manufactured market. They take refuge in a coffee shop whose postered windows provide cover.
No sign of them, Mrs. John D. says, and smooths back down the corner of a peeled-up poster with slightly shaky fingers. Bloody hell, Dyer. Bloody hell. What has the world come to? We can't cross the damn street without being afraid.
Shimago is back from the counter, steaming mugs in hand.
Ah, Mrs. John D., this...
He starts in his own gentle accent. Dyer cuts in, still half blind with after images, or maybe his anger flooding up like the crowd's panic.
Mariam, damn it. This has always been our world. Jonah's and mine, afraid to cross the damn street. You're just coming to it, and you're just a tourist. We live here our whole lives.
Shimago blinks at this use of real names, but sits and says nothing.
Back in California, even before everything collapsed, even when Jonah and I worked at Alphet in the shiny heart of the goddamn shiny future, my own lab and a $1 billion budget, even then I was afraid to walk down the street alone.
Dyer is thumping the table. Coffee splashes, scalds her fingertips.
And then the crash, and it all fell down. Lawyers picking over what's left, and goddamn IP bounty hunters with a takedown notice in one hand and a taser in the other. People saying they were scared of losing everything, but they meant their 401k, their house, their car. The day of the Wall Street hack, police car following me 15 blocks from the BART to my house, even though there's fucking fascist militia burning houses right down the street in Berkeley, for fuck's sake, finally stops me 50 feet from my door. For jaywalking is what they said, meaning I crossed the neighbor's driveway while being black. Never mind I'm in a business suit and $500 shoes. Savings, house, car, those shoes. I was way past that. I was scared of losing my life every damn day. And now it's happening here in your face, and yes, you're scared. You should be, with government caving in to the thugs and bigots. But you can always get on the train back to Surrey. We don't have that option. All we can do is move on. Mrs. John D. is pale, and the shaking has traveled up her arms to her shoulders.
Shimago gives a small nod, blots up the spilled coffee with his napkin, and with that, Dyer's anger, which is never gone, loses its focus. She puts her hand on Dee's. The hell, Mariam. I know this is nothing you haven't heard from your own grandparents. Look, having left all that bullshit behind, having come here with nothing but myself, and that self so changed I barely recognize it, I found refuge. I'm not talking about the EU and their half-ass U.S. Economic Refugee Act. I mean you, Mrs. John D., hottest damn DJ in London. You and Shimago and the Wayward. Dyer snorts, rubs her scalp. If I could send my ghost back to appear to myself on the sidewalk that day, tell myself that I was going to end up cooking Nano for some damn crazy underground psychedelic performance art rave heaven help me drop party, and that, not developing corporate patents, was the way to the goddamn shiny future.
Shimago holds up his mug. Higher works, he says.
Mrs. John D. and Dyer clink their cups against his.
Higher works.
Mrs. John D. slurps her tea, sighs, and shuts her eyes, opens them again, and says,
Dyer, love. Sorry, but I have to ask. How did you get away from the cops? On the sidewalk that day, I mean.
Now Dyer is getting the shakes as the adrenaline drains. She sets her cup down before it splashes again.
I stood there, hands on hips, and said, Seriously? One of the biggest days in American history, and you want to spend it hassling me?
Mrs. John D. hugs her mug to her chest and says,
Bad ass. Shimago nods again.
But Dyer shakes her head, thinking of that knot of noob users in the sunlight.
Lucky, she says.
2042-05-18. T, 15:22:00 plus 1 hour. Plus 51.535956 minus 0.139593.
Contact. Target, unconfirmed. Leanna Vance. Priority, AA. APH2035.Z980023. Supporting evidence. IP violations. See note. Contact. Target, unconfirmed. Jonah Pupunu. Priority, A. APH2035.Z72105. Note. Evidence use of nano agents against UK Gov property. See attached image archive. Attachment. Personal message. Holy crap, was Alphet developing some sort of anti-security nano? Must have been, right? Someone just blew out a couple dozen surveillance drones, and those Nazi immigration police have an alert out for, dig this, woman, African descent, shaved head, and man, Pacific Islander, unusually large. Gotta be Vance and Pupunu. Those same Nazi immigration police grilled me for an hour for taking pics of the drones. Some sort of migrant riot thing going on. Pretty intense. Still, no guns, no gas, no bodies hanging from streetlights, so it's effing paradise, yeah? Would be, if I could stay here. Kisses, Joe. Attachment. Images. 22. Click to view.